Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3589. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk. The Men's Room. On tap today, it is our random question. Your guess is as good as mine. Categories: the drunkest countries in the world and the most sinful cities in America. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, a Men's Room shout of the day, fun listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
The clack.
All right, here we go. Man bragged that he was gonna be rich selling fake vaccination cards online. Meanwhile, survey says two out of your three relatives will get drunk with family, so do not give your uncle any wine. Leopard takes sleeping boy in India. Mom chases him for half a mile and gets him back. Customer at McDonald's loses temper in drive-thru and has his own Big Mac attack. And a North Carolina man accidentally buys two lottery tickets. You know what happens next. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, I think we can agree that most people do not want to go to jail. So imagine going to jail five times in 3 days, and you did not break any laws. That's what happened to a man in China. His crime is that he looks like a guy who escaped from prison there. So media posted a picture of the escapee. They offered a $110,000 reward, and that's when the unfortunate doppelganger found himself in a legal mess. Again, five times in 3 days. Now, thankfully, the actual escapee, he was finally apprehended last week. But look, everybody looks like somebody. He just had the misfortune of looking like an escaped felon. Can't win them all. But he's not alone. There's a guy in Hawaii. He spent 2 years in a mental institution because of mistaken identity. And yes, you can bet he is in fact suing. And it's a shame, because people are willing to get locked up for so many stupid reasons. You know, like the guy who called in a bomb threat to McDonald's. Why? Because they forgot his dipping sauce. Or the guy who was busted masturbating at Walmart. Or the woman who beat up a roommate for playing a disco song too much and too loudly. Although, to be fair, the song does say, freak out. So mission accomplished. Now, these are just some of the stories that we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question. And this is how it works. You call us, we ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your answer, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
Be part of the big show on the Random Question Question. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the jollies and away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3589. Thank you for joining us on this lovely Seattle December day.
It is gorgeous outside.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. What a big show we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. As once again, the exciting return of your guest is as good as mine. Categories: the drunkest countries in the world.
All right.
That's right. They did a survey worldwide, global drug survey. They took into account all kinds of things. Where the people are doing the meth, where they're smoking the marijuana, right, where they're drinking. But they did come up with a list of the top 10 countries in the world to drink the most alcohol. A lot of these will not shock you.
For some reason, England and Ireland come to mind instantly.
Mm-hmm. And if you are, I don't know, maybe a different European country and you've had any of those people from either one of those two countries come to your place in vacation for a little while, spend a little holiday in your country, you know for a fact that when they're on their downtime, they like to throw down a little bit. So.
G'day, mate.
There's another. So we've got the 10 drunkest countries in the world. And then we have for you, as Wallet Hub today put out a report on 2021's most sinful cities in America. Now, to determine the most wicked places in America, they compared more than 180 U.S. cities based on 7 sinful behaviors. Those would be anger and hatred, jealousy, excess and vices, greed, lust, vanity, and laziness.
All right, so they're swinging for all 7.
Yeah, they really are. And some of the places that are the most least sinful cities in the United States, that would include Columbia, Maryland, believe it or not.
I believe that. Right. Yeah.
They don't get too crazy there. Cape Coral, Florida, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Pearl City, Hawaii.
I always hear terrible things about that place.
For some reason, they're like the West Virginia of towns and cities.
Yeah.
They end up like the worst food, the worst place to live.
I've never been there.
The worst of everything.
But every time someone brings up Pearl City, they're like, oh my God, don't go.
Yeah.
It's the worst place in Hawaii.
And you're in Hawaii. I mean, how can Hawaii be bad? I don't get that. South Burlington and Vermont, but we have the most sinful cities in the United States. And they tell you like everything from, Port St. Lucie, Florida. They have the fewest thefts in America per 1,000 residents.
All right.
8.26. Do you have any idea where the most thefts in the United States happen? What city in the United States?
Like car thefts or just like robbing houses?
It says thefts. So I'm assuming if your stuff is stolen, it's stolen. This one blew my mind.
Memphis, Tennessee.
That's like Redding, California.
Memphis shows up. This is Salt Lake City, Utah.
Really?
What?
76 incidences per 1,000 residents, which is the highest in the United States.
So I mean,
I don't know much about Salt Lake City, but what I do know, I can't imagine wanting anything that someone has.
No, that's a fact.
And of course, today as we continue with the Men's Room Happy Hour, exclusively on the Odyssey app, Monday through Friday at 6, we leave these airwaves at KISW and head on over for a little segment, an adult-only segment, exclusively on the Odyssey app. If you don't have the app, download it now. Search for the Men's Room Happy Hour. You can search for the Men's Room and you'll find it in there. And then when you see it, just go ahead and favorite that bad boy. It'll give you an alert before we go on the air. Channel, by the way, is only active when we are on the app at 6. You could download it now and try to get a listen. There's not going to be anything there because it's only live when we're on it. Today we'll go over our NFL football picks from the weekend. Surprisingly, a lot of us in here do not know what the hell we're talking about.
What?
Some do. And we'll give some props to the weekend. So that's all coming up with the Men's Room Happy Hour.
Speaking of which, somebody here says, pretty sure I saw Ted on TV at the Seahawks game yesterday.
We got a couple of
Yes,
you did.
Mm-hmm. Everyone that saw him emailed us, including the picture, in case we didn't know what you looked like, Ted.
Do you know when it was?
It was like 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Okay,
oh, really?
So was it significant, or were they just showing the crowd? Was it?
No, it was significant because the Seahawks were only up, what, 3?
I think they were up 7 at that point, right?
Or up 7,
We were up 7 at that point.
But either way, did you know you were on TV at the time, or did your phone blow up?
I didn't know, and my voice is killing me. but as soon as I left the stadium, sometimes when it's that crowded, it's hard to get text.
Yeah.
But when I left the stadium, I had like 30-some text messages.
Did you have any idea what it was about, or you're just like, oh, no?
I just assumed, because literally, like, shout out to my buddy Phil. Like, we had great seats. We were right behind the goalposts in the north end.
Okay.
So I was like, at some point, I got to be on TV.
That was an old school Seahawks jersey you had on.
That's the other thing.
The first thing I saw, and I was like, is that a Rabel jersey? I mean, who the hell are you?
That's Corin Robinson.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
NC State's finest.
I thought it was, I didn't know who the hell it was.
That was like, a Corin Robinson Puma Seahawks jersey.
Damn. It's like, maybe Ted's, you know, rocking the Rabel jersey. I've never seen a Rabel jersey. You'd think they'd have him
out
there.
What number did he wear?
I don't know. Just for, you know what I mean? Why not?
Well, it's weird, too, is that jersey's authentic and old. All right. Truth be told, I got it from a friend.
That's all right.
But people are shocked. They're like, is that a, like, where did you buy that throwback? I'm like, oh, no, my buddy's had this for like 20 years. Yeah. Like, this thing's legit.
He bought it when he played here.
And then I texted our buddy Sean, and I said, it must hurt to see your jersey having so much fun at a Seahawks game.
Well, he didn't get a ticket.
No. Hey, he was with me. He could have come tailgating, and he went, no, I'm not going to go.
Yeah, yeah. You end up on TV a lot at sporting events for some reason.
I think
it seems like every few years you pop up on television.
Hey, at least I wasn't shoving a hot dog in my gullet.
That's actually disappointing. Yeah. I was like, it'd be great if it happened twice. Like, all right.
Hey, that was the most thing. People were like, no hot dogs this time?
No.
All right, smart ass.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Thanks.
Random. That was me, Corin Robinson. Random.
Corin Robinson's probably like, is he wearing my goddamn jersey? Random.
Is he the only person alive who has one of those?
That's right. He didn't reach out.
He got an alert.
I think someone's wearing your jersey.
Right.
Hello, Alan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Alan, welcome to the program and the random question. All right, let's see here. Okay, let's go with this one. When or where did you fall? When have you taken one of the more harder spills of your life?
Oh, boy, this is a really good one. Not really. It hurt like hell. It was actually in high school. I ended up, like, in tumble at one point during PE class. Ended up hitting my head out of nowhere. That was the precursor to the big one. So I went to lunch, was feeling really lightheaded and stuff after my lunch break. And then between classes, I was on my way to fifth period. And I guess I got to the top of the staircase, like blacked out, kind of froze up, maybe like just started to have a little bit of, I don't know what was going on exactly. But then out of nowhere, my teacher said I just tumbled down half a flight of stairs and hit my eye right on the handrail and everything.
So how messed up were you?
It was pretty bad. I mean, once I fell down half the flight of stairs, they were saying I was having a seizure and everything, and I didn't realize what was happening until I was, like, coming in and out and being hauled off on a stretcher and into an ambulance.
Yeah, funny thing about seizures, you're so unaware. Why does no one ever pass out at the bottom of a staircase? You never hear, like, man, I was getting ready to climb this flight of stairs,
yep,
and I passed out. That's not what's going to happen.
Have you ever fallen down, anybody, guys? Ever fallen down a flight of steps?
Yes.
I've fallen down a couple, man. There is nothing worse.
No,
nothing
because it doesn't stop.
I know, and you keep getting faster. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't slow down.
It doesn't slow down. And you never seem to maintain one position. Somehow, you end up rolling. Every part of your body experiences the staircase. I used to fall down the stairs notoriously as a kid because my feet were going faster than my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if I were running up the stairs, somehow tripping away where I ended up falling back down.
I helped my buddy move into, he bought a new a row home in Baltimore. They're a little bit more narrow than, well, maybe not anymore around Seattle, but as far as a townhome goes and anything, these are a little bit older, and the stairways are notoriously thin,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, like, there's always a curve in them somewhere.
Always a curve, high-ass railing.
Yeah, and then it's also kind of like farm or a barn house set of stairs. So the stairs are incredibly high as far as they, and very narrow and always wooden.
Yeah.
So they're very easy to slip on. So we're moving this huge ass piece of furniture up, man. And I'm coming up the back and we're moving it upstairs. It's like a dresser or something. It's already hard enough to navigate your way around this thing. And I fall backward. And I mean, it was almost like I fell directly on my head based on the angle of the steps and everything else. I mean, when I went back, the first thing that hit was my head because it's just so narrow and steep. And it just dinged me. And I was like, oh, God, my shoulders are all stuck. But I did pop up. I was like, I'm okay.
The next day, great, Miles. No one asked.
The next day, I was like, oh, my God.
I'm not okay.
I am not okay.
Did the dresser fall on you?
No, he held it.
Okay.
And that was another thing, because I popped back up because I was afraid that damn thing was going to come sliding down and bash into me.
See, that's the crappy thing about moving stuff around the house now, right? Because it's just me and the wife. So inevitably, as the guy, you always get the more dangerous angle.
Yep.
Right?
And
the heavy part. It's a guarantee, right? So the heavy part, like we're going down the basement stairs and hang on a minute, my hands are getting sweaty. Like, no, your hands cannot get sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you drop it, you dropped it and we broke a thing, but then also, I'm going to die. You need to hold this.
Dude, you know the stairwell? We were doing a new original show years ago, right before Halloween, at Hard Rock.
Okay,
right?
yeah.
And there's that giant stairwell that goes up to, like, the showroom.
Uh-huh.
So, I'd probably had a few beverages. It's raining outside. Either way, from the top of that stair, I take a step, my heel slides out, and I just went all the way straight down to the bottom.
Like, butt.
Right. It's same thing. I just hopped up. I was like, everything's fine.
I'm good. You know what, actually, man?
The next day, my butt was killing me.
My last fall down the staircase, Miles, you were there for this, was in New Orleans. The guy whose house we went to.
Yeah.
And I'm very drunk, but my wife would call me, so I'm trying to step out of the room to talk to her on the phone. And he had a spiral staircase. I don't remember the entire fall. I remember hearing a lot of noise. I'm still trying to talk to her. I end up at the bottom, and I'm holding the phone. She's like, what was that? I'm like, it was me. I was falling on the stairs.
She's like,
are you okay? I'm like, thank you, sorry, man. It's all good. It's all good.
Question, where did you fall?
Yeah, you can't, like, whenever you fall, like, I don't know what, we all do it, but you can't admit defeat.
I'm fine. No. I'm good.
I meant to do that.
I've never been better.
And everyone's looking at you like, there's no effing way you're okay, man.
Some guy in England recently showed up at the ER with something stuck in his no-go hole, and he claimed it happened by accident. In this case, the object lodged inside him was an old World War II artillery shell. Basically a huge bullet used to take out tanks. It was about 2.5 inches in diameter and about 7 inches long. He claimed he'd been cleaning a bunch of junk out of his house when he found it. Then he put it on the floor. And then he slipped on the floor and landed on it butt first.
That sounds likely to me.
Doctors were able to remove the shell, then realized it might be dangerous. They called in the bomb squad. Luckily, it wasn't actually something that could explode. They said it was a, quote, inert lump of metal, so it was no risk to life. At least not to anyone else's. He's expected to make a full recovery, but could you imagine just...
They had to call in the bomb squad.
What are the odds? What are the odds of that happening?
But they had to call in the... And look, you know, me and
one shot,
me and VD were talking about this, and I said, look, man, you know, if doctors deal with people that have things stuck in their butt... And judges, right? Like, 95% of everyone they talk to is lying. And they know that. The difference is, the judge is getting in trouble. The doctor doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bother to lie. Just say, doc, it's in there for the exact reason you thought that it was in there. I tried to stick a bomb on my butt. I'm sorry. But here you are. You know, if you're a judge, I get it. Go ahead, come up with your lie. See what your lawyers can do for it. But with the doctor, they're like, bro, we're not stupid.
Well, all right. So, there's a famous Seinfeld episode, right? Where Kramer gets the wrong license plate, vanity license plate. And they belong to the ass man.
The ass man.
Do they say ass man?
Yeah. Right. But the ass man is actually a proctologist.
Okay.
That's why he has a boat and everything. But that's always kind of the joke with proctologists. It's like people come in there with stuff stuck up there all the time, and it's always million to one shot, doc.
Sure. So you then, know they know.
Right. I had a buddy who had he's telling a story like that, and I go, million to one shot, right? He goes, oh, no, man, that just it randomly happened. And I kind of look at him like, hey, your dog's not on a farm. Your boss didn't randomly fall on a sex toy.
Right.
That got into his rear.
Mm-hmm. No. Same story.
And it like shook his world. He's like, oh man, like, yeah, I'm not judging, but he's up to something.
Wait, he was really buying into his boss's explanation?
Yes.
Okay, look, I don't want to say who it was. We had a coworker, equally as naive, I guess it was, and I can't remember her name, I wouldn't say it anyway. Female coworker, pretty good looking chick, but she was talking about going to the dentist.
All right.
Do you remember this, Miles?
I believe so.
And her thing was, she was like, I just hate going to the dentist. Like, yeah, it's not all bad. Don't worry about it. She's like, every time I go, it's the same thing. They check the teeth. Then he has to check my breast. And there's like three other dudes standing there. And we're like, I'm sorry, what now? She's like, yeah, when you go to the dentist, don't they do like, you know, a heart check and all this? I'm like,
No.
She had no idea. So I don't know who her dentist was. But apparently, he looks at her boobs every time she goes in.
Jesus.
And, right. She just this is an adult, mind you. Mm-hmm. She just thinks it's part of the thing.
Good times. That's how you tailor pants.
Yeah, just like get a new dentist. Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Stefan, welcome to the program. Random question. Okay, you can answer this one. What song would you say you hate more than any other song? What's a song that you can't stand? When it comes on, you're like, oh, God, I hate this song.
Oh, the Macarena.
The Macarena.
All right, that's fair.
Don't go to a wedding.
Oh, no, thank you.
I think that might be the last. I can't imagine a station still play. I'm sure somebody does somewhere. Well, but outside of weddings, I don't know. Although, to be fair, man, at weddings, I always feel like it's split 50-50, right? 50% of the songs are songs that you like or the current song you can deal. And the other 50%, it's chicken dance stuff. Ted, I know your family loves chicken dance. Chicken but as dance. Far as a song, like, it's not a good song.
Can you dance? Can you do the dance? Even though
no.
you hate the song?
No.
Okay, well, fortunately, and Steve's right, unless you are at some type of celebration where there's a group of people who are going to get up on the dance floor, the chance of you hearing the Macarena are very low.
Or if Mike's your producer.
Yeah. Do we know who this was by? It was like a one-hit wonder.
It's Los Del Rio.
Los Del Rio.
Yeah.
Do we know what that means?
Believe it's like Them of the River.
Them of the River?
Yeah. They of the River.
The River People.
The River People.
Okay.
Really, this is the one-hit wonder band. They had so much potential.
Mm-hmm. Well, and aren't they talking about her cheating on her wife?
Yeah, this is a terrible song.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what is it about?
So,
it's not about the Macarena Bread Company here in Seattle?
So this gal here is Macarena.
Okay.
Her boyfriend is off at war. He's fighting at war. The dudes that are singing, yeah, she's getting with them while he's off.
That's why they sound so positive.
Hey,
that's
right. Hey, Macarena.
That's right. Okay, that explains
it. Take a turn.
Macarena. Take enough of my dismal
chicken. Raise my ass
up. Open your mouth. Give a little.
What song do you hate more than any other? Angered that a roommate was playing the chic classic La Freak over and over and over again very loudly, a Florida woman allegedly battered the disco devotee during a 12 o'clock midnight confrontation in the duo's apartment. According to the arrest report, Marianne Lannon, 53, became upset after the 64-year-old victim, who was Lannon's cousin, put on the 1978 song on repeat. They say that Lannon freaked out and pushed her kin into a makeshift tiki bar, causing the bar to fall apart and the victim to strike her left eye on a speaker. Cops noted she had severe swelling and bruises to the left eye. Lannon was arrested by the Tampa Bay area apartment she shares with her cousin, was charged with domestic battery and misdemeanor. She was released from the county jail on her own recognizance. A judge has ordered Lannon to have no contact with the victim, who she's lived with for the past 5 years.
And that's what set her off.
La Freak, by the way, written by Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards.
Oh, of course.
Both of whom were members of Chic. Topped the Billboard Hot 100 charts in 2018. 18, the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress included the single among its treasures worthy of preservation. Described as an infectious, danceable confection, La Freak has become a staple of wedding receptions, movie soundtracks, and nightclubs, according to the Library of Congress.
Okay, turn that up. You gotta wonder how many times in a row you have to put this on before you get your ass kicked.
You can definitely hear the Nile Rodgers.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no,
it's funky, it's good. Like, I've heard the song 1,000 times and still like it.
But not 1,000 times in a row.
Correct.
I could probably go 3 before I snap, right?
It's not the worst.
It's not. What is your least favorite song? I mean, that's the reason. Well, I can go through kid shows and all that, but as far as songs that are played on the radio,
Mamba Number 5.
I know you hate Mamba Number 5. I don't like Mamba. That. As far as what we play on this station, obviously I hate Every Rose Has a Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the tune from Paul Simon? You Can Call Me Al. I don't know how to explain it. I remember it was a huge album when he put it out. It was a huge song. It was a huge video. He won Grammys, and I just wanted to beat his teeny tiny little ass. I don't know what it is. I hate that song passionately.
I think mine is probably, God, it just makes me... It just makes me upset because I know the cash payment on this stuff and what it's all about. It's got to be Lee Greenwood. I'm proud to be an American.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like, this guy's coming into town. He's charging $15,000. He's singing one song.
One tune.
And then he's leaving. You know what I mean? It's always some rally in Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Here comes Lee Greenwood. You know? More of the random question coming up. 206-421-ROCK.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Random question. 206-421-ROCK.
We have a couple of people just wanted to get off their chest songs that they hate the most.
All right.
Let's see here. We have Any Smashing Pumpkins says horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Someone else accuses this very station, KISW, ruined Danzig's mother. I know we play it. I think that song's good enough. I have not gotten sick of it. Someone else says, Love Fool by the Cardigans. Well, it's the Cardigans. These are the people, they did the, Friends theme? Is that them?
No, that's the Rembrandts.
That was the Rembrandts, right. My bad. Taryn will not be happy to hear this, but Fly By Night from Rush.
Come on.
They say
that's a great album.
They call that the worst song in existence. And then the song Happy by Pharrell makes me want to punch the radio every time I hear it. You were saying you hate this song too, right?
This one I do hate.
My problem with this song, all right, it's not my favorite song. It's not my least favorite song, but it was Despicable Me 2, I believe it was the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, my kids watched this movie over and over, so I was actually happier watching the movie than I was going through the intro, right? Because this whole song played.
Okay.
Is he still wearing the Arby's hat?
I think he's always thinking Arby's.
Okay.
My man likes roast beef. Isn't that kind of his thing?
He always wears hats.
All right.
Yeah, but there was that
used
one
to have the Arby's hat.
Where it's like, that doesn't fit your head. It doesn't fit anybody. It's like he stole it from a mascot from college where their heads were 10 times bigger.
And then he gave it to Cam Newton. Cam Newton wore some crazy hats, too. Okay.
No, he wears a lot of stuff. I'm like, he must be a millionaire. Or a pimp.
Right.
There's only two ways.
Well, right. And when you're rich enough, you just get to be eccentric.
Right. That's what we call it.
Right. If I wore that hat, then people would be like, he's drunk.
He's a dumbass.
Right? What were you thinking?
You ain't rich. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
Jason, welcome to the program. Random question. You can answer this one. You don't have to give any names if you want, but based on the people that you've known in your life, who do you always suspect or think is up to no good? You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're not, but you just have this idea based on a couple of experiences. This person's up to no good.
Oh, 100% without a doubt, my sister.
Your sister. Oh,
okay. Has this been the case all of your lives?
Oh, since birth, yeah. Like, when we were kids and my mom wanted a babysitter, they volunteered to watch me, but not her. They were like, no, this isn't happening.
The babysitter said that.
Oh, yeah. Family said that.
Well, tigers don't change their stripes. So is she the same person she was as a kid now?
Absolutely. When she was 15, she got her first felony, and then she ended up in jail. She escaped jail at one point, does a lot of meth, drug rings, like all kinds of nonsense.
How did she escape from jail?
So she got on good behavior while she was in jail. Once she got on good behavior, they put her on light duty to work outside of the jail, like cleaning up, changing trash, or doing gardening and stuff. And when they weren't paying attention, she dipped. And she was on the run and was on the FBI's most wanted for, I think, a month and a half before someone tracked her down.
All right. Now, let me ask you. I'm an FBI guy. I know she's got a brother. I don't know too much about your relationship, but any relative that I have or that person has, I'm going to think maybe has an idea where that person might be.
Sure.
So were you thinking they were going to come talk to you, or maybe they were checking your phone records? Or I mean, because...
Right. Now, you're under observation,
yeah, exactly,
because she does.
You know her.
So she has basically, like, wronged everyone in the family. If they knew where she was, everyone in the family would have been like, yeah, she's right here. Get her.
Okay, and where is she now?
Up in Fairbanks, Alaska, somewhere. Last I knew, she had gotten out on a work release at this point. I don't know what she's doing.
How many times, as far as you know, has she been arrested for a felony?
At least six. The last time I saw her was actually in 2010, and it was through some thick plexiglass.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Now, is she up there is she up there trying to get away from everyone, or does she legitimately like Fairbanks, Alaska?
No.
Oh, we have family up there, so she thought she could go turn to some other family. But I remember when I saw her in jail, she came out, and she's not a small woman anyway, but when she came out, she was, like, real fat. And I looked at her, and I said, how'd you get fatter in jail? She goes, I take everyone's cake. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I'm the bully, so at dinner time, I go around and I take everyone's cake. So she doesn't eat dinner. She just ate like 30 pieces of cake every night.
God damn, man.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Sometimes, well, we asked you the right question.
Is she the older or younger sister, by the way?
She's older.
Okay, so you came off like an angel.
Oh, every time. It didn't matter what I did. They're like, this guy's the greatest.
Right. He only got in trouble for a misdemeanor. It's not a felony or anything.
Jesus. The reason we ask, based on those you've known in your life, who is always up to no good, or at least you suspect they're up to no good. 7 years after pastor and televangelist Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Texas reported burglar stole $600,000 in cash and checks from its safe.
Right.
A plumber during work doing work at the church has made what is being called a bombshell discovery. The Houston Chronicle reports about 3,000 envelopes full of cash and checks poured out of a wall when workers moved tile and insulation behind a loose toilet during a repair on November the 10th. More information on the discovery was reportedly revealed on the radio talk show The Morning Bullpen on 100.3 The Bull when one of the plumbers called into the show. The host of the show, George Lindsay, said in an interview that the plumber said he found in the walls, what he found was just unbelievable. There were loose tile in the wall. We removed the tile. The caller reportedly said, we went to go remove the toilet. I moved some insulation away. About 500 envelopes fell out of the wall. I was like, oh, wow. Lakewood church officials reported the discovery to police after they were made aware of it, according to a statement. The church says, we have no further comment at this time.
Yeah, well, no, because you didn't lose the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a goddamn liar.
Yeah.
Listen, I remember when Joel Osteen filed that, because it was a big deal, right? You know, $600,000, the safe, all that kind of stuff. I did not think that he stole his own money. I did not at the time. Well, but now that you see, here's my thing. If I'm the plumber, once I realize what's in the envelope, one, I'm not telling the church officials. The only thing I say to Joel Osteen, if I'm the plumber, is, hey, man, I remember 7 years ago when you reached out to authorities, someone stole $600,000. Now you're right.
Well, look, he said 500 envelopes fell out of the wall. I'm telling him 400 fell out.
No, we found an envelope.
Yeah.
There might be more back there.
Then he would be like, wait, there's more back there. Where are the rest? I mean, like, what do you mean? There was only one.
I don't know, Joel. I don't know, because we were told somebody stole these, and so we found one of them.
Now, here's my question.
It's also amazing that, like, I mean, that's like gangster stuff to do.
It is.
Yes. Right? I mean, he doesn't even, like, hide it, and people just don't care.
Well, in March 2014, church officials reported thieves cracked a safe and made off with hundreds of thousands of dollars. Houston police at the time reported $200,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And $400,000 worth of checks had been taken in the theft. My question is this. It has been 7-8 years at this point, right? The checks, unless they're...
It could be cashier checks.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how are those checks still good, number one? How long is a check good for? Is it guaranteed cash? And the second part about that is, if you know that this was associated with that. So even if he tried to turn these in at a later date.
All right.
You know what I mean? Wouldn't they be able to flag... From the time
you could, but if they stole it out of your safe, right? Even if you're running a con like Osteen is, and I say somebody stole these, and I'm sure he got some kind of insurance thing to balance that out. But if 7 years later I have a cashier's check, I mean, it's cash. If it's a personal check, it's probably void, right? But a cashier's check, it's just cash that I haven't turned into cash yet.
Yeah, well, police never made any arrests, and it's unclear where the case left off. But they will say this, the statute of limitations on the case has since expired, meaning reward money, they're offering up $25,000 is no longer up for grabs. So the plumber...
I would offer $10 million when I know it's in my own goddamn walls. And look, we know the guy's a fraud. I think most people do, but the people that don't, I don't think this is going to change their opinion. You know what I mean? Like, he knows he's fine. One of those, well, I'll be damned.
Look at all that money.
Isn't that crazy that somebody broke into our safe and hid it in the walls of my own church instead of taking it? Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, look, this happened where I grew up in PG County, right? The county, what do you call them? The county official or you know, like the head
like the mayor of the county or whatever?
Yeah, right. I always forget what you call that guy. But basically,
commissioner.
He had like a pay-for-play kind of scheme. Right. So like if you wanted to do construction or anything, you basically had to pay off certain people that you could do construction in the county.
And then he gave you the permits and all the stuff.
Correct. County executive. He got popped by the feds and same thing. They were like flushing checks down the toilet. His secretary had something crazy, like 100 G's on her person.
Generally,
when you hide money from the IRS, they care. I mean, look, that's why my buddies. Bernie, like his brother had to do 2 years in a federal pen.
Well, somebody's asking that now. They say, will the IRS get his ass now? And I don't know how it works since you recorded as a it depends if they allow the smoke screen, right? It's Joel Osteen. He has a lot of pull, all this kind of thing. So if the authorities are like, all right, we know what you're up to.
Worried about what now? As far as
IRS, because at this point, well, now you got $600,000. You don't owe taxes on it or somebody stole it, right?
Well, you don't owe taxes on it when you're in that church anyway.
But he does. As a human being, he does. So it depends how he spends it.
If it's written to the church, then it's tax-free.
Right. But that's what I'm saying with those cashier checks. My money says they were to him. And
people don't hide money in walls if you're not trying to cover up a crime or you're trying to get out of something.
Right.
Otherwise, why not just put it in a bank?
Mm-hmm.
And collect interest.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I don't know what law he's broken, but I'm willing to say if there's 600 G's in a wall, you have broken a law.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is my guess. Same as finding people in a wall, money in a wall. Somebody here says cashier checks are good for 6 months. So I don't know. I don't know how that works out there. Because I'd rather pay taxes on $400,000 of my checks than just not claim the $400,000 at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather just owe taxes and get whatever I get, $230,000 left or whatever it is, than not get any money.
You also play by the rules.
I don't always play by the rules, but I don't have so much money. If I hid money on my walls, I'd be like, dude, we redid Thrill's bathroom, found four rolls of quarters and a crisp $5 bill. Like, that's what you'd find on my wall. And actually, you wouldn't, because I'd keep that money. That's just me. Hello, Bobby. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Bobby, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's give you this one here. Bobby, why did you decide to leave your job? Any job you've ever had that you decided I've had enough? What was the reasoning behind it?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, I have to go back to the first job I ever had.
All right.
So, the first job I ever had did not recognize the fact that I requested time off on a regular basis. I had to request time off for different requirements or appointments or things like that. I'm sure you all understand.
Maybe. What kinds of requirements? Is this a legal requirement, or are you just going to go get laid somewhere?
Well, sometimes we want to go get laid. Sometimes we have a massive diarrhea, quote unquote, and want to go hang out with our friends at the movies.
All right.
Or, sir. So this job, the most classic way that I quit was just actually walking in and throwing the uniform at my manager because she was standing there. It's like, oh, okay. Well, nope. This is how I quit. Bye.
Well, where did you work?
Oh, it was at a Sonic drive-in.
All right. That's fine. My first job, Chi-Chi's, I ended up losing that job. But what pissed me off about it was so I got fired on a Monday. But mm-hmm. That weekend, we had taken a long weekend, me and a couple of friends, and I did not miss work for this, but we went to Ocean City, Maryland, all right? And we had rented one half of a duplex. The other half of the duplex were six chicks from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I remember this. And four of them were pretty hot, two of them, whatever. But right. Either way, they took a great liking to me, all right? So I was like, well, look, man, this is Saturday night. I'm like, look, we're leaving tomorrow. I got to go back to work, man. You know, I can't miss my job. And they're like, don't worry about it. We're staying here for another week. Stay with us. We'll drop your ass back to Baltimore before we go to Allentown. And the temptation was, I mean, again, they didn't invite any of the other dudes, just me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I mean, I debated this. And in the end, because of work ethic and all this crap, I said, man, you know, ladies, I would love to. And when I'm telling you I would love to, I would love to for the very reason you think I love to, but I got to go back to Baltimore, man. I got my job. So whatever. Go back Sunday. Kind of bugging me in the car, but life is life. Get up the next day. Monday, going to work, find out I lost my job.
Jesus.
And the name of the manager was Dwayne. And I'm like, Dwayne, I know you don't know this, but the reason I seem so hostile is not because I love this job. I explained to him the situation. He's like, dog, you should have stayed.
I said, well, I know
you
that
could have driven back.
Yeah.
Like, you could have called me Friday.
I would have gotten on a Greyhound bus. And I would have gone back. And I would have knocked on the door and said, you know what? I changed my mind.
I was too broke.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Dude, it sucked. I'm still bitter. This had to be 35, 36, 37 years ago. I am still bitter about this.
Reason we asked, why did you decide to leave the job? After 20 years of working at Taco Bell, a worker told a reporter that he's leaving because customers have gotten way too difficult in the past year. He asked to remain anonymous for fears of impacting his future employment, but said that the fast food industry has been his job for years. He put in 6 years at McDonald's before his two decades at Taco Bell. Fast food, he said, is pretty much the only thing I've ever known. If customers hadn't become so unreasonable and angry, I probably would have just kept doing what I was doing. I love my job until COVID hit. As he says, customers have become more critical and angry toward workers in the service industry, and suddenly people think it's perfectly okay to be intolerant, demand things, and be unreasonable. Almost intolerable. He said the shift in customers is in part thanks to the rapid advances in technology, which is used by the fast food chains.
What does it mean?
Well, like online ordering, people becoming accustomed to being at home and having everything delivered.
Okay.
Many customers are starting to treat fast food as their personal catering service, he said, with extreme modifications to every item and no empathy or understanding to overwhelm workers. Basically, he said, man, he was working 60 hours a week. All his crew members were scheduled for 45 hours a week. But the effects of angry customers and overwork are evident at the restaurant. The last 2 weeks, he's had three separate workers break down and cry and need to leave during their shifts. And he also had his first panic attack in 27 years.
Oh, geez.
That's when he said it's realized it's time to get out.
He worked at Taco Bell for 20 years.
McDonald's 6 years before that. To give you an idea,
I feel like Taco Bell should give him some kind of award. Like, hey, man, we get why you're leaving. Customers suck. But God damn, man, you put in you put in 2 decades at what for some people is a summer job, some people a high school job.
For something that you have no control over.
And you're not the manager.
Right.
Or anything like that. You're not getting paid like that.
Look, whether you agree with something or not, like with the mask mandates and stuff, like those people are just doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of them probably don't even agree with it, but they like that's the way the rules are. But I see people dress down, you know, restaurant employees, and it's like, I know you're mad at something else in your life, but that is the wrong person to take an hour.
They don't get paid enough, man. You want to give grief to somebody? Give it to Joel Osteen. This mother ever has 600 right. That guy makes enough money and runs a criminal organization, right? And nothing's going to happen to this dude. The guy making $8 an hour at Taco Bell, like, it ain't worth it.
And sometimes, too, people got to recognize, when you go to a high-end restaurant and you pay that much money, you could be very particular about stuff. But, did you get a burrito that cost $1? calm down. And I like Taco Bell, but it's they
don't charge a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why, and you know why.
Yeah.
It's kind of the agreed upon circuit. It doesn't cost a lot because it ain't worth a lot, but you like it.
Yeah, exactly. We sell a burrito that we just shove cheese and potatoes into it. You like it. It's $1.
Right.
Shut up and enjoy it.
Take it. Jesus.
See, that's why we work there. Hey.
Part of the reason I got out of restaurants.
Yeah, right. Shut up and enjoy it.
Yeah, shut up, man. Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Jesus. Hola.
Hola.
Jared, welcome to the program. The random question. Okay, let's go with this one. What would you say is the most heroic thing that a family member has done that you've heard of? The most heroic thing.
Oh, boy. That's a good question. My sister's a scientist. She does HIV research, and she came up with a bunch of patents that allow cheap HIV tests that they use in, third world countries and
That's very
cool.
Better than anything I've done.
So you're just worthless then.
Does she make you look bad?
I'm the one that kind of skated by. Like she was the golden child, and that kind of just didn't exist, which is perfect for me.
Okay. Does she have the perfect family and all that stuff?
I mean, she was married, and her husband.
I mean, she's married and stuff.
Yeah, okay. That's the tone of voice that
My brother, he volunteers at shelters in Pittsburgh.
He wants people volunteer. It makes
almost
you look
every
bad.
Other weekend or during the week, and he'll send me a bunch of things he's working on and see if I can. I'll throw him some cash every once in a while, but I mean, he's such a good person. It's almost annoying.
No, I know what you mean, dude.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I love him to death. But I mean,
same thing.
You just stop doing good all the time and making me look like
right,
crap.
Don't be so, just be successful at what you do. But once you start volunteering on the side,
he's just a good person. Reason we ask, what's the most heroic thing a family member has done? A boy snatched by a leopard is lucky to be alive.
Jesus.
After the animal let go when his mom gave chase. The child, believed to be about 5, was sitting in a hut with his mom and siblings when the big cat approached, according to local authorities. The woman who jumped up and chased the animal while screaming basically ran for about a half a mile. The family lives in India, and there are plenty of big cats in the area. Recounting the episode, which took place November 30th, she said, lady was sitting in her hut with her kids when the leopard came. It took the child and started to run away when the lady chased him, screaming, and more people showed up, so the leopard eventually let go of the child and ran away. The boy suffered minor injuries, but is now fully recovered, according to his mom. He wasn't very injured, but the leopard's teeth did sink into him. Admitted to a hospital, he's completely fine now. Though called a tiger reserve, the park is home to a wide range of animals, including 32 species of mammals. Among those, that big-ass leopard. A leopard does not care about what is the core of the buffer zone. There is no fixed boundary for any of these animals. They are monitored by forest officials.
Not very well.
But it's not possible to track each and every movement of wild animals. You can only track animals that are collared. Otherwise, they move around freely. Basically, she ran a half a mile and screamed at that leopard. Finally let go.
More run out of energy.
More of the random question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.